531.
This morning you've heard from the newest member of our Pacific Breakfast team, and right now we're going to learn more about this multifaceted, multi-talented individual, Tau Ili Ili Alpha Mayava Marosuifulo Afionga. Thank you so much, Alpha.
Greetings. Thank you once again for the opportunity. Such big words. You are going to give my tongue a tongue attack. You see that?
So we're touching base. Let's take a deep dive into the world of Tau Ili Ili Alpha Mayava. Firstly, villages in Samoa representing this morning, please, sir.
Right. So I grew up in a village called Nofo Ali'i. My father is split between Utu Ali'i, Avao, Safai, and Lepea. I say these because I actually spend a lot of time in all of these villages. And my mom's, where Te Tau Ili Ili comes from, is the village of Letongo. And yeah, and we grew up in a family that are descendants of Niueans in Samoa.
Well, you get the best of both worlds, as the Niueans would say. Whakawe lahi mahaki. Tell us a bit about yourself, Uzo.
I am a father of three. I'm a full-time husband and a part-time business entrepreneur trying to be. And yeah, so I'm entrepreneurial in terms of always looking for some business, or I'm also a big fan of the arts. I love music. And yeah, just looking at helping people however I can. And now being here, that's another part of the story now.
Another part of the story, and when we're talking about your musical life, as I say, multifaceted. Hamo Kane, very familiar to all of our listeners. Hamo Kane, that name is very catchy. How do you come up with a name like Hamo Kane?
I'll give you the radio edited version. So I don't know if most people in Auckland remember there was a bar called Chocolate City. So we were performing there at the time, and I was the only artist on that night with just me, because everyone came in twos and threes, and I did a set that was like 30 minutes. It came off, and the guy goes, "Man, you're like a Samoan hurricane." I thought, "Huh? Hey." And I like the word Hamo and, you know, Samoan hurricane. So I kind of put them together. I didn't even know it was a word, which I found out later was almost kind of like Hamo, which is short for Samoan, and Hawaiian for kane. So like Samoan mayo, all right, let's roll with it. So yeah, and the rest is the alter ego lives.
Now, you've done a bit of traveling over the years also, over 10 years in the Middle East, yeah. And also studied in South Korea. Man, talking about a well-traveled, tell us about your time in the Middle East.
Well, I mean, look, first and foremost, I was born and raised in Samoa. So if somebody were to tell me during those my village years that one day I was going to do what I'm doing now and also living so far away from home, it would have been just like, so it's your turn to tell the jokes today. You know what I mean? Ended up there. I went to university in Korea University. I was also the first non-Asian and non-European to become the president of a student club there. Which was funny because, you know, as it was. And it's where the founder of Hyundai went to school. So the kind of the caliber of students that I was exposed to opened up my world, my little fob world that left Nofo Ali'i ended up there. And about 10 years ago, my wife and I decided to just venture out and build a home in Dubai. We were there for probably about 2 to 3 years. That was our plan. And we ended up there just under 10 years. Two of our children were born there. And yeah, we got to experience everything there was to learn. There were failures and there were successes and there was growth in both spiritual and personal, especially in coming together as man and wife is some of the memories that I will hold dearly for those countries. And also to Scandinavia and to Europe and yeah.
Also, in terms of, you know, this is a question that we were talking about, you know, before coming on air, the perception of, you know, the Middle East in terms of what we see here in the West and, you know, media reports coming out of the Middle East generally. Talk to me about your experience of the people and the culture during your time there.
Right. So let me start by saying this, that I'm an indigenous person. So, and it became very clear to me that if I were to see these countries for what they really are, I needed to see it from an indigenous perspective. Because if I were a tourist, I would only see what's good for me and then complain for the rest of it, right? So I decided that if I were to go to Saudi Arabia, I would be a Saudi. And everything you see on TV, you have to understand that's just culturally, that's what they do. You know, with Saudi, they've got the Sharia law, and that's the center of Islamic. So there are things that you can't do there that you can do somewhere else, but it just doesn't make it any different. when I first went to Iran, like everyone else, all you see about Iran is, you know, the whole down to America and all of this stuff. And then you go there, the nicest people in the universe I've ever met, the nicest food. I've never felt so safe. I feel safe in Tehran and Qom and Isfahan than I do in some parts of New Zealand. So, you know.
Man.
And the stereotype, it starts to break down, because it was hard for me to get over what I've learned about the world when I grew up. And also, I spent a lot of time in India. My son, my eldest son's first trip ever was to Goa. And we did that to see whether he could fly long distance to before coming to New Zealand. And so these countries were amazing. And again, when I came to New Zealand, there was the stereotype of Pacific Islander, the indigenous people of New Zealand, the Maori. And then we also have this perception about Indian or anybody that was South Asian, because that's what they call that part of the world, South Asian. So that's Pakistan, India, Bangladesh, all of that. And you go there, I learned how to get into business because of some of my Indian family members. I have an Indian mom and dad. You know, they looked after us. They're just people. It's just that there's a billion of them. And I think that's why we're like, oh, I'm like, bro, that's just so many. Imagine if Samoa was a billion. People would be like, oh, those Samoa, they take over everything. It's just that there's so many of us, you know what I mean? So I got to learn. I think the biggest thing I've learned from being overseas is knowing that everyone has a place in the universe. And just because I don't like something I see, it doesn't mean it's not right. I can only speak from an indigenous perspective, and I keep it there.
Very nice. Something that you're also very passionate about, and if it's all okay, your son,
yes.
You know, and with regards to, you know, the special needs for him, you're very passionate in this area also. Talk to me about that, please.
Very. So my son is the reason why we migrated back to New Zealand. He now has a condition called peripheral neuropathy. So what it basically means is that the nerves of his hands and feet are affected and he can't fully use them. And as a result, we came back and we realized how blessed New Zealand is. And we want to thank everyone that's been supporting our son. So we are now part of Tō Whāma Māo. It's a collective for carers, those who live with a disability, and their families. Because I'm now on a mission, my family and I, to contribute to the cause, to help our Pacific people do not parent your child from a limitation. What does that mean? In Pacific context, when, especially Samoa, when we see someone who is blind, or we always say it's a curse. And because we've already assigned it as a curse, we have just removed the ability for that blind person to become someone great. Just because he's blind doesn't mean he can't do anything, right? And so that's why we're passionate about it, because we have to make sure, though our son's hand and feet have limitations, God gave him a beautiful brain. And that's what we're trying to, you know, emulate, and hopefully our Pacific community can start to see that the physical body doesn't necessarily represent the whole.
It's good. Final words this morning to our listeners about what they can expect from the Hamokane co-host of the all-new Pacific Breakfast Show. Whamono mole lava,
Tauri. Sure, Brian, for me, it's just that they can expect to hear something new, you know, my experience, where I've been to, and also I'm a student of learning. So, you know, there are times, and like you said, this is for our people. So if there are times that I stumble or say something, please express it, because, you know, no man is an island. You know what I mean? In my case, no man is a villager. So please, expect from me something fresh and new, and also in service, the handbag to Brian. But if I do something wrong, please teach us. Yeah.
Come on, it's all good. Our new team member on the Pacific Breakfast Show, Tauili Alpha Mayava. It is 21 minutes to 9. Some defection for you now, down in the boondocks, 531 PI. Pacific people together.